Good morning. A few little technical glitches here, but a piece of paper working as a shim seems to have solved all our problems. It's the first day of Dai Sishin. Dai doesn't mean die. It means great. The Great Sishin. It's our Great Sishin of the year. We get to, if we count the first day and the last day, it's 10 days. And, you know, a lot of us have to do a lot of organizing to manage to come, to drop away from our day-to-day lives. To meet ourselves again. So this is the 20th year, 20th summer Ango period here at the Grail. And Joshin Sensei, head of the first one, was our first Shuso at the Village Zendo in 1998. So 20 years, huh? And as many of you know, this may very well be our farewell Ango here at this location, at the Grail. And it's because of management issues having to do with this place, the Grail organization. It's not ours. We love this place, and it fits us just right. And maybe it isn't the last one. We just don't know. That's all up in the air, which... things always are, but we pretend like we know. And in this case, we really don't know. So I think it's really fitting that our Shuso this year is Daishi. He has followed us through the various zendos that we have occupied through the years. He turned up at 15 Washington Place with Jozan. You all remember Jozan? And I think they were colleagues in school together. Daishi was still an undergraduate. And after finishing school, he came back to New York and used to sit with us at Varick Street when we moved to that loft space. And he was working then, did a very interesting project with Israeli and Palestinian children, young people, teenagers, working with poetry and expressive arts, bringing them together to work. And then he eventually went to Boston and received a degree in pain management and acupuncture, I think it was, initially. And he would return, so he wound up at 588 Broadway and at Wisdom House, and at Garrison. And during that time, he got a doctorate in pain management at Davis, UC Davis, and was teaching there. He married, he has a wife, Ronit, and a young son by the name of Enzo. So he still, for some reason, is loyal to this old place, these people here. Is part of the Village Zendo. So welcome, Daishi. Thank you for leading this this wonderful, moving Ango period for us all. So you might ask, why did Daishi come here? Or why did you come here? We have people from Portugal. Where are you? Kyushu, there you are. Why come to Ango in Cornwall on the Hudson, probably the furthest right you can get in New York State? Oh, there I go again. I promised myself it would not be political today. I think we come together to practice, experience the way. the way that has no name, or it has 10,000 names, a way of being in life, a way to experience ourselves intimately, to experience our lives intimately, and to remind ourselves of the deep truths that we got at some point and then we forget. So this year our Ongo study text is Bendowa. And that's a very early writing by Dogen. If you've looked at it, it's kind of a tutorial, really, that he wrote, coming back with all his knowledge from China, and he wanted to share the teachings. And it's the only one that I know of his writings that I've ever seen that has this question-and-answer format. It's quite lovely. Kaz Tanahashi is the translator we're using. Kazuaki is a dear friend and has really translated the whole of the Shobo Genzo, that all of 99 fascicles of Dogen's. So he translates Bendowa as, and Kaz very much likes to use English. So he translates it. So many people don't. Many people just have Bendowa. But he translated it as on the endeavor of the way. On the endeavor of the way. Always found that kind of, what? But I think it's how we undertake or how we strive to practice the way. Bless you. So my personal shorthand for Bendowa is about the effort to practice the way. Or maybe it's about the right way to exert ourselves in practicing the way. For many of us, how can I skillfully practice in this difficult time? I think because of the world we live in, many of us are plagued with confusion, fear about the political situation, the environmental situation, what we perceive as an upsurge or a kind of approval of greed and anger and ignorance, the three poisons of the Buddha, seeming to come from not just this country, but in many places in the world. So possibly within your hearts or your personal lives, such as in mine, there's a bit of anger and confusion and fear. And each one of us is uniquely psychological beings, too, affected by our past, what's happening in our lives now, each day, you know, in relation to our loved ones and our friends, our work, the community. So we seek a way, we seek a method, so that we can act with compassion and joy in this short life. What to do with this short life? How to live a life of compassion and joy? And it can be so tricky. I think all of us have at one point or another witnessed really well-intentioned spiritual paths that have landed in very murky waters. Rigidity, anger, control, shame, abuse, arrogance, all sorts of bad behavior in the name of the way. I've certainly seen it in Zen communities, so I don't even need to go outside that to point to large churches or other traditions. You can just look at it, right? It's very simple. It's there. So one of my favorite sayings is this paradoxical saying by Meister Eckhart. You may know him as a beloved Christian mystic. He wrote, "For whoever seeks God in some special way will gain the way and lose God who is hidden in the way. But whosoever seeks God without any special way finds him as he really is, and he is life itself." So if we exchange the word Dharma for God, which I think may help some of you. "For whoever seeks the Dharma in some special way will gain the way and lose Dharma that is hidden in the way. But whoever seeks Dharma without any special way finds it as Dharma really is. And Dharma is life itself." Whoever seeks the Dharma in some special way will gain the way and lose Dharma that is hidden in the way. Whoever seeks Dharma without any special way finds it as Dharma really is in life itself. We seek samadhi, a deep, intimate practice. But somehow, so often, the seeking itself is what obstructs us. We tighten. We self-talk. "You're not doing this. It's not working. This is no good. Everyone in the room is in the deep samadhi, and I'm just sitting here counting the moments." Or we blame the Jigido. We blame the community. We blame the organization. We forget that right here, actually here at the Grail, on the cushion, right now, we have everything we need. Right now, we have everything we need. We don't need to fetch anything. In Bendoa, Dogen says, "Although the Dharma is abundantly inherent in each person, it is not manifested without practice. It is not attained without realization." Although the Dharma is abundantly inherent in each person. So, think about yourself. And the very person you think the Dharma is not inherent in. It is not manifested without practice. It is not attained without realization. We have what we need. And we must practice. Oh, that wind. So lovely. I know. Last week I found an old piece of, going through files, you find paper. Things used to be on paper. And I found an old written piece by Maizumi Roshi on Sesshin. And in it, he carefully reviews all the forms that we use in Sesshin, and directly and so simply expresses how they help us if we pay attention. He says, "The practice of Sesshin is really to become one with the mind." practice of Sesshin is to really become one with the mind. So not fighting the mind or ordering the mind around, but becoming one with the mind, not the separation. And he says, what is the universal mind? What is our mind? To join these minds together, to connect our mind with the mind of the universe, is what Sesshin means. What is the universal mind? What is our mind? To join these minds together, the universal mind and our own mind, is to connect our mind and the mind of the universe, and that is what Sesshin means. You know, Sesshin means together. Consider that openness, that kind of the heart of the matter. We pull away from the psychological going on and on and on and on and just drop into this larger space. I would call it love. So Roshi emphasizes the practice of harmony, of realizing harmony with all that we do, particularly in services, regardless of the role that we might play in the service. Maybe as a server. So maybe the servers only get to hear the service from the hallway or from back in the kitchen area. So they just hear little bits of what's going on. And yet they are part of the service. Or maybe it's handling the incense or the sutra books. Seeking harmony, whatever job you have. You know, and when we do kenhin, just one foot and the next foot. Not forgetting it, but being completely present to the movement around you and your own. Maitomi Roshi reminds us that Sesshin means to join or to unite or to connect the mind. And he points to chanting, kenhin, work practice, all ways to enter into this project. The same project that Dogen is writing about in Bendoa. Each act done with awareness, attention, and care actualizes our place in life itself. Well, you know, the media that I read all the time is these days talking about how distracted everyone is, right? And here we have the perfect remedy. The perfect remedy for it. Actually, be present to this moment. He mentions kenhin. He says to be 100% present to your foot on the floor. What would that be like? You know, are you in a hurry for the person in front of you to move? Just be present to the foot on the floor. How it feels. He says, kenhin is simply another way to do zazen. So consider that when you step outside the kenhin line. For whatever reason. Remember that you are still doing zazen. Whether you're drinking water or using the bathroom, you're still doing zazen. It's not a break. We don't need them. I mean, we come to Sesshin to be fully in Sesshin. So in Bindoa, there's a roadmap for us to experience the Buddha way, the way of reality, compassion, insight, and wisdom. And Dogen urges us to allow ourselves to drop into what Kaz is translating as receptive samadhi. And I would say that in most texts, translations, people don't translate it into English. They usually just leave it as jijuyu samadhi, sanmai. But Kaz beautifully gives us receptive samadhi. So it's not just this power of oneness, me, but there's a quality of receptivity that he's able to capture with that translation. The original phrases that Dogen used, as far as we know, is jijuyu samadhi, and it has different connotations. The G, that character, is used very often in very early Chinese poetry, like 6th, 7th, 8th century Chinese poetry, self-so, the spontaneous self, the kind of rebel self that is so delighted by the Chinese poets. The free nature of the self. So that G is a different self from you know, there are quite a few translations, characters. But this one is the self, the spontaneous self. And the Ju receives, but it also was used to translate the different perceptions when you're looking at this perceptions in the Buddhist, in the early sutras, they talk about eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind, also this Ju. So it has both the sense, this receives, but this nuance of perception. And the Yu, so I got Ji, Ju, the Yu is the Confucian term for cosmic functioning. So taken together, that ju-yu comes to mean enjoyment or to receive for use of the wholeness or the cosmic functioning. And then samadhi, I think you all know, is the Sanskrit sanmain, meaning union, absorption, and meditation. Spontaneous, self-receiving, and enjoying. Does that sound like what you're doing here? Spontaneous, self-receiving, and enjoying. Receptive samadhi. It indicates that you're willing to let the meditation enter you. A difference? Let it. Do not push it away. I'm not doing this right. I must not be doing this right. And I should need to take care of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But allow that union, that absorption within your meditation. I mean, that's why we come here and go to all this trouble to do this. Why are we all dressed in dark colors? It's just so that we're not so distracted. That we can allow ourselves to absorb into a different level of reality. So this giving and receiving, you know, is not just ourselves, but we are also giving and receiving here and also with what's outside, the world outside us. It's not just this internal story, but it's the whole cosmos, really. It's not a narration. It's not even awareness. You just sit and be quiet. A bird sings. The fan moves. We sit. Thought comes. Thought goes. The thought that I'm having right now is that that breeze is so nice and cool. I'm so fortunate. And we just sit. And thanks to the Jikido, a bell rings, and we stand, and we walk in him. Is there awareness of receptive samadhi? Not necessarily. It's there. You don't even have to name it. Or check yourself. Measure. It is you. Dogen says in Bindowa, this being so, the zazen of even one person at one moment imperceptibly accords with all things and fully resonates through all time. Thus, in the past, future, and present of the limitless universe, this zazen carries on the Buddha's transformation endlessly and timelessly. Each moment of zazen is equally the wholeness of practice, equally the wholeness of realization. That last line, each moment of zazen is equally the wholeness of practice, equally the wholeness of realization. We don't have to reach for it. Each moment. So that's what we're doing here. It's important. It's vital. It's you right now in our little session in Cornwall on the Hudson. So I encourage you to stop the techniques and skills we have in when we're in the marketplace. Stop the judging, the weighing, the evaluating, the grasping. Just allow yourself to drop into receptive samadhi. Jijuyu samadhi. Just drop. It's like Daishi's wonderful description of Richard Serra's experience as a young boy when that great big metal ship drops into the ocean. Floats back. And just imagine that. All your sores and troubles, sorrows and troubles, just let them drop into your zazen. This week of practice has the power to encourage you and broadening circles to encourage those that you are with, that you work with, that you encounter. Don't minimize your impact on the world. Simply by being here, you are actualizing the teachings you are realizing. And you know, the thing is, when you realize, when you have that realization, you don't know it, because the part that always knows everything is not busy at that moment. And so just appreciate it, and don't try to evaluate it. Just appreciate it, for God's sakes. So there's the last book of koans that we study is a collection of stories of enlightenment of transmission, is called Transmission of the Lamp by Keizan Zenji. These wonderful anecdotal stories of all the masters. And in case 40, it's about Dungang Dalpei, and I like this one. I just want to inspire you with it. Dungang Dalpei's teacher, Yunchu, said to him, "If you want to acquire such a thing, you must become such a person. Since you are such a person, why be anxious about such a thing?" If you want to acquire such a thing, you must become such a person. Since you are such a person, why be anxious about such a thing? So, and that little bit of prodding woke up his student, Dungang Dalpei. And then Keizan wrote a verse to this, and he said, "Seeing it oneself with empty hands, you return with empty hands. In that place where fundamentally nothing is acquired, you really acquire it. Seeing it oneself with empty hands, you return with empty hands. No grasping. Pure experience. Pure realization. In that place where fundamentally nothing is acquired, you really acquire it." So don't worry about wasting your time in Zazen. In that place where fundamentally nothing is acquired, you really acquire it. Don't become anxious that you're not doing it right. Trust your level of commitment. We're so afraid of failing that we create barriers to the simplest practice. Coming here and sitting together as a community. That's why I find it so reassuring for him to say, "If you want to acquire such a thing, you must become such a person. Since you are such a person, why be anxious about such a thing?" If you walk in the door here, don't be anxious about it, just sit. That's what we're doing together. It's wonderful. When we see a gap between our life and our awakening, you know, it's as far away as the great mountains of China, which are now covered in buildings. Yeah. So I hope to encourage you today. It's a very simple talk, because this particular session is really important to all of us. As long as we don't build some dreamy idea of something we need to do, but instead we practice just as we are, just the person that you are, and trust that. We have the guidelines, we have the rules, they're there for a reason. They help us, they protect us. The way is right here. Each step, each breath. Don't look for it. Just be it.